Matthew 25, 23. We've just got some teaching moments here tonight. So stay with me as we endeavor to teach. Just one verse of Scripture is the one I want to hear one day, and I'm sure you do too. His Lord said unto him, one of the ones that got the talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." What a swap. What a swap. But here's the part you got to hear. Enter. Enter. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to teach from that, this title, I Am Forever Changed. I am forever changed. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings and mercies today. I'm thankful for the song, the testimonies, the singing, God, the people that are represented here today. Help us, Lord, as we endeavor to go deeper into your word and learn more about you, that you would enlighten us with the thoughts, Lord, that the word of God is so rich in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am forever changed. There's a lot of things I thought had changed me. I remember when I was throwing up pizza one time. I said, I'll never eat pizza again. I thought I'd never eat pizza again. I was convinced that I would never eat pizza again or a hamburger from a certain place. I won't tell you where because I don't want you to quit patronizing them. But if you twist my arm, I'd tell you. But there's one thing for being converted, and there's another thing being convinced. And a lot of things I thought I was changed, but I just was temporarily changed. Because there was a time I got hungry for pizza again. I tried it again. You know, I'm going to go someplace tonight where I want to help you that to be forever changed. There's some things that you need to be forever changed. When we read this little phrase here, we need to understand really what the joy of the Lord is. We could. He didn't say enter into heaven, which heaven is the joy of the Lord, but he said enter into a place called the joy of the Lord. So we see that it is a place, right? It's the joy of the Lord. It's a state of mind. It's a state of being. Amen. It's not your joy where you, boy, I'm filled with joy. It's his joy. Amen. And so it's not really happiness or this emotional thing or gladness. It's the joy of the Lord. Now listen close because you can understand, you know where I'm going. The joy of the Lord is the full, complete presence of the Lord. It is the complete surrounding presence of the Lord. That is the joy of the Lord. And I want to define this because Nehemiah said in one of his writings that the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Okay, so the joy of the Lord, meaning the presence of the Lord, is my strength. So if God is not present, you're not strong. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he was mighty. But if the presence of the Lord didn't come upon him, the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, he was weak as other men. And so we find that the joy of the Lord, he says, is our strength. When he is present, I'm strong. When he's not present, I am weak. All right? And no wonder David said that in his presence is fullness of what? Joy, right? Strength. So wherever the Lord is, there's strength. Wherever he's not, there is weakness. And so that behooves us to be in the presence of the Lord at all times. So when you enter into the final stage of this life is over, you enter into the continual presence of the strength and the power of our God. Never to go back out again. But you enter into the joy of the Lord, meaning the full strength and presence of God. Now down here, I do get weak sometimes. And Paul said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. Amen. And every once in a while, I was working on something. I don't mind telling you, I'm flesh and blood. I was working something in the churchyard. It come close to me needing correction tape. That whiteout, you know? I was so aggravated with something. Now, you know, I didn't say anything, but I got out of that joy, you know, of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. Because you get so aggravated with some You know what makes me more aggravated than anything? It's something that's supposed to be simple and it becomes so complex. Something complex, I expect it to be complex, but something so simple, why does that have to be so hard? And so anyway, that's some of my frustration I deal with in life. But God gives me His joy and His strength. It is the power of God, and it is His presence. Now we say He's omnipresent. Well, He is, but you know, He's everywhere, but His presence is not always there with the power thereof. Okay? And so I know when I was growing up, you know, my dad was the protector of our house, just like I was when my children were growing up. I never felt secure if he wasn't home. Now, it's not because he got a shotgun that people come to the front door. I saw him, you know, defending at the front door. It wasn't because of that, because of what it was just his presence made me feel secure. My wife doesn't like to stay by herself, and I'm not probably the greatest defender in the world for her if we get robbed or whatever. Of course, I do have Bessie. I do have Bessie. It's got four shells in it right now. But when I come in, she's always my presence, right? Amen. When I come in, my presence brings a peace. It brings a peace to her that she didn't have until I came in. She was under no more threat before I came in than she was. No one was at the door. And when I came in, I said, "You get out of here." And they said, "I'm glad you came home." It's just my presence. And of course, I feel the same by her. I need her presence. The power of the Lord, when the Lord is, His presence is there, healing is there. When His presence is there, salvation is there. When His presence is there, deliverance is there. When His presence is there, joy is there. When His presence is there, everything you need is there. Amen. And so we look at this one setting of scriptures in Luke 5 and 17. And when it come to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. You know, they were going to catch Him in some words. They were worried too much about the word. But let me tell you, when I come into my house, or my daddy came into my house, he didn't have to say a word. Just His presence gave me peace. He didn't have to say, "Peace be unto you," when he walked in. He just His presence. And so here's the Lord teaching the word of the Lord. And here's these Pharisees, the doctors of the law, sitting by, which had come from every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. He was there. They were worried about the law. And well, it's the Sabbath day here today. He just broke the law. When they were missing the healing. They were missing the peace. They were missing the joy of the Lord because His presence was there to help them. I wonder how many times we get off on other things that go on in life, and the presence of the Lord cannot do what He has put inside of us because we're chasing something else. And we miss our peace, we miss our joy, we miss our strength, we miss all the attributes that God wants to give us because we're too worried about what they're doing. You still flying those planes, Brother Ford? Did you fly them tonight? Yeah. No. You was too tired? Oh, I know why he's too tired. He's the one been digging all those holes out there. We heard there was a little gold in the yard. We've really been looking for it. It's called PVC pipe. But he flies at night all the time. I don't know if y'all know that, Brother Ford. He flies all the time. He goes to foreign countries just right there in his living room. He's got what's called a joystick, right? Yeah? Okay. All right. If you've ever played a video game, it's not worth anything if you don't have the joystick, right? Yeah, I don't care. You got to have the power. That's what it's called. That's why, see, joy means power. And that's why you have to have a joystick, because it doesn't matter how much power you got in it unless you can control it, right? It's not going to do any good. And so the joystick of our salvation is the presence of God. It's the joystick of our salvation. If God's presence isn't here, Moses said this, if God don't go and His presence don't go, I'm staying right here. When Israel wanted to go, he said, no. Well, let me check with God first. Are you going, God? He said, no, I'm not going. He said, hey, y'all, I'm not going. good luck. But I'm not going, because that was the joystick of his strength. It was the joystick of his salvation. And without that, you don't live and move and have your being. Paul said, in him, I do those things. So in the beginning, I always like to go back to the beginning. How many of y'all like to go back to the beginning? Who started it? In the beginning, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, what? Let there be light. Well, what was that light? Hello, his presence. Because the moon and the sun wasn't until the fourth day that light appeared. But his presence is light. The Lord is light. He's the Father of lights, James said. So when the Lord arrived on the scene, he was the light. He was the power of light. Light's powerful. It's powerful. If we turn the lights out, and I've said this many times, I don't care how you can look around here and say, okay, I got it. Turn the lights out. I promise you, you're going to run into something before you get to the back. I don't care how well you know the bedroom to the restroom at your house. If you leave the lights out, you're going to be going. But if you turn the light, there's power in light. And he is the light. He's the light of the world. And then he said, ye are the light of the world. And so his presence came, which meant his power came. And God began to say, let this be, let that be. And boy, it was. And so God created Adam and Eve. And guess what? He put them, the Bible says, in God's garden. The Garden of Eden was not really created for Adam and Eve. It was created for God. And the Bible says, and he planted the man there. He was a plant. He planted the man there in God's garden, and he put him there to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord gave him a woman. And so they were in the presence of God. God would come and visit with them. Isn't that what the scripture says? And they were in the presence of God. But something called sin, S-I-N, occurred. And all of a sudden, God shows up, but they don't. And we say that all the time. Sin severs you from the presence of God. Not true. You sever yourself from the presence of God. He came to forgive you. His presence is still there. It's you that severs your relationship with God, not him. He's just to forgive us. And you won't ever be forgiven if you're not in his presence. So after sin, they sinned. Then they lost the joy of the Lord. What'd they do? Let's read it. 3:8, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves, watch, from his presence. I don't feel like talking to God today. Me either. And that's what we do. I don't feel like. I've known people that's told me before when they get down and out, they say, I don't feel like reading scriptures. I don't feel like praying. And they drive themselves away from the presence of God. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. They were acting like a plant. And the Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. You know, the voice of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. All the time the prophet was saying, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, it was the presence of God. It was the voice of God. And I was afraid. Why? Because I was naked and I hid myself from you. So through sin, they separated themselves from the strength and the power of God. God could not forgive them till they came into his presence. Y'all not catching this. God could not forgive them until they came into his presence. And that carried on through to the Old Testament. Sins were not forgiven until Aaron went into the presence of God. It wasn't the presence of God chasing them down. It was them going into the presence of God behind the holiest of holies, and God would meet them there. No matter how much you sin, no matter how wayward you've been, I'm here to tell you, God will meet you there. He's not running from you. He's not hiding from you. He's not playing hide and go seek with you. He is ready and just to forgive you in his presence. So they were driven from the paradise, but not from the presence of God. They were driven out of the garden, but not from the presence of God. For we find this is where sacrifices began. And he mentioned it Sunday morning. That first sacrifice was offered a sin and a sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve's sin. But we find they had two children, right? And they offered sacrifices also unto the Lord. So this was trying sacrifices was a way to get into God's presence. Without a sacrifice, I don't know if you get into God's presence. You've got to sacrifice, guess what? Your life to really get into God's presence. You got to, listen, you got to sacrifice your life to live in God's presence. And so they offered sacrifices to get into God's presence and to atonement of sins. And that's the way they did it in the Old Testament. However, you might recall Cain murdered his brother. And because of his rebellious acts, not because necessarily murdered his brother, but because he refused to listen to the voice of God or the presence of God, then the Lord, watch what happens, the Lord ends up sending him. Or Cain leaves the presence of God, 4 and 16. And Cain went from the presence of God. So Adam and Eve, their father and mother, hid from the presence of God. And now there, he went out from the presence of God. That's a bad place to be. Is out, away from not being able to touch God. He went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and on the east side of Eden. So we just see this scenario here where you can hide from the presence of God. You know why there's not a lot of people go to church? They want to hide from the presence of God. They don't want to come in and feel what I'm going to get to a little bit later, conviction. They don't want to feel the convicting power of the presence of God. They'd rather not feel that. So they hide. The last thing you want to do is to go away from the presence of God, be driven away from the presence of God. And so we find that If we're not careful, we can hide from the presence of God or be driven from the presence of God by our own disobedience. The joy of the Lord in the New Testament began to take on a different kind of meaning. Because how many of you got, when you got the Holy Ghost, you got joy? See, when I look for people getting the Holy Ghost, this may sound crazy, more than tongues is joy. Because if you don't get joy, you ain't got it. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I've seen people speak in tongues and they didn't seem to have any joy. Well, His presence is really not there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we read in this New Testament where he gives these parables out and he tells two of them, enter into the joy of the Lord. They were forever changed. The other man went to hell and he was forever changed too. But I don't want to talk about him tonight. There is a place, my brothers and sisters, where we need to be forever changed when we enter in there. But there is a change that needs to come upon us while we live upon earth, while we were never, it's not possible for me to go back. Somebody said, well, anybody can backslide. No. It's quiet when you say that. Because things that have been converted, you see that light right there? Catch that energy and make it go the other way. You can't do it because it's been converted. Completely converted to light. You can't make that light go back up there, back to that transformer, back into the coal that Mark shovels into that. That's Mike, I'm sorry. Mark shovels into that. I was wondering why y'all sitting so far apart tonight. Okay. Thank the Lord. So this is the question. I want to remain in the presence of God while I'm on earth. And the only way for God's presence to be with us continually is that He lives in us. He lives in us. When David committed his sin, this is what he said, my sin is ever before me. He could get up in the middle of the night to get a bologna sandwich and that sin was there. It didn't matter how he's on the throne. That sin is still there. But when you have the joy of the Lord inside of you, wake up for that bologna sandwich anymore, thank the Lord, I got bologna. Thank the Lord. And you wake up with the joy of the Lord all the time. But why? He's living inside of you. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. No wonder David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. He lives in us. And that's what the regeneration is all about. The Holy Ghost is all about a regeneration where Christ now can live inside of us. So I don't have long tonight, just another hour, but let me give you these 3 points before I go. You might want to write these down. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise, right? Well, winning souls, let me tell you, it's not easy. You won't win souls with arguing, debating. That's not how you win souls. You don't win souls that way. And when you really win a soul, it's not won until it says, enter thou in into the joy of the Lord. Then you're saved. I'm still in the process. I know they sing this, oh, I know I'm saved and I'm so glad about it. Well, I'm still in the process of being saved. But when I hear him say, enter thou in, then I know I'm saved. Number one, three steps here about soul winning. Number one, convince. Convince. What convinces people? You know, convince is to persuade people. Maybe change their mind to some degree. It's how do you convince somebody? How do you convince somebody you got the truth? Well, let me show you right here. Let me show you this. Acts 2:38 says it right here. And if you don't have that, you go to hell. That ain't going to win them. That's not going to win them. That doesn't convince anybody. Before you can ever win anybody, you have to convince them the right way. You have to be convincing. You know, there's some people are great salesmen because they're so convincing. Other people are salesmen because they're so pushy. You know? But there's one thing that will convince people more than anything. You've heard me say this before. How many of you ever bought a rainbow vacuum cleaner? Anybody? Did you see a demonstration? Yep. Yep. And they got you. Because they were so convincing. And so Paul said, I don't come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That's convincing. When you see the joy of the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost working in somebody's life, it starts convincing this person before you ever say, would you like to buy one? They're saying, how much does that cost? I want two of those. I think my mama may want one of those. Because you have convinced them through demonstration that you've got to have one of these things. So what are you demonstrating? What are you demonstrating to the people at work and in Walmart? What are you demonstrating? You know, we talk about, well, I want to be a witness. I want to be a witness. And y'all can say shame on me because I need to do more of this myself. But you remember when we had Brother Sister Martinez here? You remember the Hispanic couple? They brought more people to church than anybody I've ever seen. And you know what they did? They went out with an intention of witnessing. They didn't go out... Just, you know, we say, well, if I get a chance, they went out looking for the chance. They went to Walmart and put a few things in their basket with no intention of buying it, but an intention of running into someone that they could witness to. When is the last time we got up with the intention of today, I'm going to witness to somebody. The Lord's going to send me to somebody today. I'm on the lookout and I got the power and the demonstration to do it. Wake up with the intention of today, I'm going to influence somebody. Not that lady right there. She does it all the time. She wins them in the parking lots and all kinds of places. Because she intends on doing that. A life of intentions. I want to die living the life I intended to live. Here's how you convince somebody. You first must plant a seed in their mind. A seed. A seed thought. When you plant a seed, don't disturb it too much. Too many times people plant a seed and they want it to grow tomorrow. And they disturb the soil that they just planted it in. But you've got to plant a seed thought in somebody about they need God. They need Christ. They need this rainbow vacuum cleaner. They need that. And then you just keep watering it. Too many people want to plant another seed. You don't need a bunch of seeds. Just plant a seed. I know my grandpa used to plant 4 or 5 seeds in every little thing he did, and then he'd pluck out all of them but one, because he only wanted one. And you use the power of demonstration by continually watering this with your testimonies and watering it with a life of living Christ in front of them. If you ever need anything, let me know. I'd be glad to help you with anything you need. And you just keep talking to this person. You keep talking. And they know you're a godly person. They know you live for God. And how's the fish biting? Have been biting good? Okay, well, that's good. Okay. And we just keep watering the seed. I'm just befriending you. But after a while, they find a day of trouble. And say, you know, I got something I want to talk to you about. Phone rings. Say, well, what can I help you with? Well, I'm disturbed. You know, I read in the word of the Lord such and such. And you know that now, number two, conviction is beginning to occur. There's 3 steps. One, you've got to convince someone first that they need what you have. And you plant that seed in their mind and you keep watering it. And as you keep watering it, it softens the seed coat on that seed. And finally, that seed germinates. And when it does, it's called conviction. When it finally dawns on you, I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. Paul said this, I plant, Apollos waters, but only God can make it grow. You can't do it. 5 more scriptures about why they're going to hell, it's going to do it. It's not going to do it. Just live the life and they'll come to you. They'll come to you asking these questions. So our job is to plant seeds into water, and then the Lord begins to change and soften their hearts. It's called conviction, which is a lot of what's lacking today, not on God's part. I'm afraid a lot of it is on our part of not planting the seeds we need to plant. And then last but not least, number 3 is convert. So we got convince, convict, because you'll never be converted until you're first convinced. And you'll never be converted until you'll never be convinced, convicted until you're convinced. It's a step that you've got to go through. And then once you get someone converted and they're truly converted and not convinced, okay, I'm going to walk you through this. When someone is truly converted, they are changed forever. They are changed forever. How many, some experience, I said, man, that changed me forever. I'll never, that. See, the Lord told Peter, he called him Simon first, right? What does Simon mean? Listener, hearer. He said, I'm going to convert you from a guy who just hears, when I said, follow me, you were convinced. He didn't know why he was following, but he convinced. He spoke. Jesus spoke with such power. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't know anything about this guy. But he was so convincing. So convincing, especially after he said, cast your net on the other side. Man, the power and demonstrate. What a demonstration. It's like, and then what happened? He fell down under conviction and said, depart from me. I'm a wicked man. See, you've got to convince somebody before the Lord ever convicts somebody. And so the Lord, when he said, follow me, he had no problem following him. And he said, I'm going to convert you. You're going to be fishers of men and not fishers of fish. So I'm going to change you from the listener to the rock. What is a rock? Do rocks ever go back to sand? I don't think they do. They're forever changed. Are you still with me? They don't go back. They're forever changed. I'm going to change you to the rock, and you're never going to be the same again. You'll never go back into the world again. Backsliding is not, it's not possible because I'm changed. Okay? I'm living heaven on earth. All I'm going to do is hear him enter into the joy of the Lord, but I am living heaven on earth. So as they come tonight, once a rock, always a rock. Once you're really changed, you're always changed. The problem is too many people are just convinced, but they're really not changed. When Peter, he was so convinced that when Jesus looked at him, he said, they were all splitting, you know, getting close to the time of the cross and pressure was getting on. They were all leaving him. He said, will you go also? He said, who am I going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Ah, them other jokers, they may leave you, but not me, Lord. I'm with you. I'll go to prison and even unto death. He was convinced. He was convinced that he would go and die for Christ. And the Lord rebuked him, even later called him Satan. But he said, let me tell you something. Satan hath desire to have you. He loves taking people that are just convinced because he can unconvince you. There's a lot of people who said, boy, I used to think a lot of them, but boy, I don't anymore. You know people you thought highly of, now you think they're just scumbums. But one time they were way up here and now they're way down here because you're just convinced. And so Peter like, got my sword, Lord, me and you. I'm convinced. We're going to, me and you, all the way. And the Lord said, Satan hath desired to have you that he might unconvince you, sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. And when thou art converted. Yeah. See, you're not there yet. Peter, you're not there yet. Those words, I never, I've heard people say, I'll never get a computer, and they got one. I'll never get a cell phone, and they got one. I'll never get married. And they got married three or four times sometimes. When thou art converted, then you can strengthen somebody else. But right now, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. I'm waiting for you to be converted. I'm waiting for you to go through the regeneration where you receive the Holy Ghost. Then you can become the rock. And when you really receive it, you ain't never giving it up. When you really get it, you'll never go back again. You're changed forever. Woo! On the day of Pentecost, that same man who was, I don't know him. Nah. I seen him somewhere along the way, but I don't know that guy. Oh, but on that day when he was really converted, he said, men and brethren, let me freely speak. That same one you crucified is both Lord and Christ. David said he has ascended, and David's bones is with us today. He preached like a rock that day. Woo, because he was changed. And the Bible says, or the history says, he was hung upside down. He was converted. You stand with me tonight. Let's sing this song. I hope I'm talking to converted people tonight. Oh, yes. Why don't you make your way down here tonight? Let's worship the Lord a little while before we go. It's all over me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy and the strength of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, this is the way it goes. The joy of the Lord came into me. But one day, he says, enter into my joy. He came into me with joy. But one day, I enter into him. My soul goes back to him. But today, he's in me. Hallelujah. I'm excited about living for God. I'm excited what tomorrow may bring. Now that I've preached this, how many of you would go with me? I'm not asking for much. I'm not asking for much. One day this week, will you go with me? And here's where we're going. We're going to go out the door with the intention of witnessing today. And I'm not, listen, I ain't done. Don't say hallelujah yet. I'm not coming home until I do. I'm not coming home until I do. Now you choose what path you take and see if it's pleasing to the Lord or you find a quick exit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored. Praise the Lord. I'm going home. Or will you really go out with the... here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you'll go out with the intention, He knows the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. And He will fill those intentions, those good intentions, with goodwill. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'm thankful for Your mercy, Your blessings today. Enable us with Your Spirit. Lord, it's always present with us if we'll just open up to it. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask that You continue to be with us. Help us to find lost souls, for truly Your mission, You said, was to find the lost sheep of Israel. Help us to find those lost souls and bring them into the fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet again, brother and sister.